Listen now to Scripture as I read it to you from Psalm 1. Happy are those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or take the path that sinners tread, or sit in the seat of scoffers. But their delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law they meditate day and night. They are like trees planted by streams of water, which yield their fruit in its season, and their leaves do not wither. In all that they do, they prosper. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I feel blessed. You know, that expression has come into vogue lately. When things go well, when we have enough, when our relationships are positive, we often find ourselves saying, I feel so blessed. The implication is that someone, something, often the divine, is looking on us with special favor and making things better. And so we exclaim, I feel blessed. We're implying that God thinks I am okay because look at my life and how good it is. And then there's another expression that we have. I want to be happy. Happy. It's a word that we use as the core of life's meaning. We have enshrined it in the pursuit as a pursuit in our nation's Declaration of Independence. We seek happiness in our relationships, our employment, our hobbies, our homes, our schools, and our church. And if we're unhappy with one of these areas in our lives, we move on. We move on. If pressed to define what happiness is, we usually describe it as some type of ephemeral feeling. I just feel happy. Well, I fear that our common understanding of happiness and blessedness obscure their true nature. You see, both words have often been used in the translation of Psalm 1. Depending upon which translation or version that you read, you will encounter one of those terms. Psalm 1 invites us to probe the meaning of being blessed and experiencing happiness. It does this by contrasting it with its opposite, wickedness or evil. It presents us with two similes. The first, happiness or blessedness is like trees. And the second, evil or wickedness is like chaff. And then it concludes with a judgment on each of these paths or lifestyles. Let's look at them individually. Like trees. Like trees planted by streams of water. It's a fascinating analogy for the happy life, for the life that we regard as blessed. They are like trees. Karen and I have spent a lot of time and money dealing with trees this year. We live on a wooded property and have enjoyed the beauty and the shade of trees throughout the years. This spring, we discovered that 5 of our ash trees have been afflicted with the ash borer and needed to be cut down. 3 of them were absolutely huge. You know, one trunk was nearly 4 feet in diameter. After it was cut down, I began to count the rings, trying to figure out the age of the tree, and I finally gave up at around 140. And I was only about 2/3 of the way done. My guess is that it was nearly 200 years old. It is sad to see something so magnificent come down so quickly. But it's also a reminder of the mutability of all things. I began to ponder what that tree must have seen during its life. 2 world wars, a civil war, a Great Depression, and so much more. What an amazing existence it had. It represented strength, resilience, and its grain carried the memories of the stories of the ages. Ironically, this powerful and magnificent tree, which endured many a storm and blizzard, succumbed to the presence of a tiny beetle. Mortality is a reality of all living things. But when I contemplate the trees on our property, the analogy of the psalmist comes to life. Trees, planted by streams of water, are rooted in the earth, the soil of God's creation. In short, they are connected. They are connected to that which gives life. I think this is the first truth of the simile. Happiness, the state of blessedness, is not found in what you have, nor in where you are going, nor in what you are doing, nor the emotions that you may be feeling at the time. No. Happiness, the state of blessedness, is about being connected to and rooted in that which gives life. The second lesson from this simile is that happiness, or the state of blessedness, yields fruit. Trees have a purpose, and they fulfill that purpose with beauty and grace. Some trees bring forth fruit, nuts that feed the other living creatures. All trees absorb carbon dioxide and convert it into oxygen so that we can breathe. The branches of the trees offer not only shelter for humanity, but also for birds and other fauna. They do this quietly throughout the spring and summer, and then their leaves die in an act of colorful beauty that we photograph, paint, and travel to see. They are like trees. The psalmist offers us another example of the happy, blessed life. They delight in the law of the Lord. Delight. When used as a verb, is a playful joy that comes from doing justice, from loving others, from seeking beauty and truth. Truth. We live in an age where truth is under assault. We have been so gaslit that we are losing our moral and intellectual compass, not knowing what is up or down, right or wrong, true or fake. One of the examples of this is the anti-science movement that has taken hold of many. It has its different forms, but it basically calls into question the wisdom of science, math, and the quantitative tools of analysis. We need to recognize that the foundation of modern science grew from the soil of inquiry into the nature of God's creation. Pennsylvania, which has literally hundreds of small colleges founded by churches, which growing up in New Jersey, I believed existed for the purpose of educating us New Jerseyans, but they were founded by churches to educate the young people from those congregations. And science was a central part of their curriculum because understanding the laws and the mechanisms of creation was ultimately delighting in the law of the Lord. If we believe that Jesus is the Logos, or truth, there can exist no truth apart from him. Science does not deny the divine. It reveals the mystery, the complexity, and ultimately the transcendent reality of God. To study science is to delight in the law of the Lord. Happiness. The state of blessedness is not about accumulation, nor about the easy life, no. It is about being rooted in the soil of creation and sprouting forth in goodness, fruitfulness, beauty, justice, and truth. They are like trees. The second simile is like chaff. We need to acknowledge the realism of the psalmist. Our minds are drawn to the analogy of the tree planted by the stream and the goodness that derives from it. But the psalmist also addresses the reality and omnipresence of evil and wickedness. It's an affliction that exists in humanity. You know, evil is not always ugly, brutal, and initially destructive. Wickedness is often seductive, offering us something better. The psalm declares that its practitioners even function as counselors, spewing advice and giving direction in ways that distort truth and goodness. What does it say? Happy are those who do not follow the advice of the wicked. The psalmist then speaks of evil existing in those who sit in the seat of scoffers. Sitting in a seat is kind of an ordinary event in our lives. But the psalmist is not referring to our chairs and sofas. This is a reference to the seats of power and authority and those who occupy them. The psalmist is engaging in political realism by reminding us that those who occupy seats of authority and power can be motivated not by the pursuit of justice and goodness, but by their own pathology and evil. The psalmist shines a light on the rhetoric of the powerful, and it condemns the scoffers, those who sneer at truth, who lie and obfuscate, who barter in disrespect, insolence, and mockery. The reality of evil is that it begins with the seeds of banality and flowers into violence and destruction. It is not life-giving. Its ultimate resource is the power of death. The preacher-poet John Donne captured this in one of his holy sonnets. Thou art slave to fate, chance, kings, and desperate men, and dost with poison war and sickness dwell. But here's the irony. The power of evil and death is like chaff. Chaff is the thin, scaly husk that surrounds grain. In ancient times, it was removed by thrashing the grain, and then the wind would blow it away. This is the core message of our faith. It's the message of the cross and resurrection. Evil and death are a reality. They are. But like chaff, they ultimately are worthless, merely dust in the wind. The empty tomb of Christ echoes the empty husk of Psalm 1. They are like chaff. Psalm 1 ends with a message of judgment. The wicked, who sit in seats of power, will not be able to stand in the face of judgment. They will perish. Percy Bysshe Shelley extolled the reality of judgment in his sonnet, Ozymandias. Ironically, it is a poetic narrative about a fallen statue. The legs stand by themselves, the rest of the body lying in the sand. And the visitor goes up to it and notes the face, and writes, his wrinkled lip and sneer of cold command tell that its sculptor well those passions read. He sat in the seat of scoffers. And then Shelley concludes with these words, my name is Ozymandias, King of Kings. Look on my works, ye mighty, and despair. Nothing beside remains round the decay of that colossal wreck. Boundless and bare, the lone and level sands stretch far away. The wicked are not so. but are like chaff which the wind blows away. Psalm 1 reminds us that the life of faith is a journey. We are on a path. Each of us needs to acknowledge that there are times when we are diverted from the path of truth. There are times when we are seduced by the counsel and the advice of the wicked. Each of us has that within us, and that is the struggle of daily existence. It's why we regularly pray for forgiveness. It's why we struggle and even die for truth, beauty, and justice. Two similes. Happiness is like a tree. Wickedness, evil, is like chaff. And then a judgment. The way of the wicked will perish. Psalm 1 reminds us of the propensity of evil within each of us, but that there is a better way. The psalm calls us to be rooted in the soil of truth, nurtured by the flowing streams of justice, connected to others in love, grace, and forgiveness. For those are life-giving virtues. This is the good news. Amen.